You're listening to the Youth Critic Podcast on KHZ Network. If you like this episode, please leave a like and comment on our iTunes page at KHZ Network. And now for the podcast.
I have seen gods fly. I've seen men build weapons that I couldn't even imagine.
Uh-huh.
I've seen aliens drop from the sky.
Yeah.
But I have never seen anything like this. How much more are you hiding?
Hola. Let's go. Go. Go.
We are home. My son, it is your time.
Show me my respect and bow down.
You get to decide what kind of king you are going to be. Don't freeze.
I never freeze.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Youth Critic Podcast. I'm your host, Kale Smith. Joining me today is Andy Comer.
Howdy, howdy.
And Kaylin.
Battle.
Hello.
So today on the Youth Critic Podcast, we are going to be talking about Black Panther, Marvel's new 18th film in their ongoing cinematic saga, where it'll eventually culminate to whatever that fourth Avengers movie is.
Yes.
So
Infinity War,
whatever Infinity War Part 2 was or is.
They haven't announced the name yet because it's a spoiler for this one.
I'm sure it is. I'm sure Thanos will die in the first 15 minutes and it'll be great.
I really hope that Kang the Conqueror just shows up and just fucks his day up. That'd be awesome.
Yep. He just grabs the gold thing from him, just like, nope, it's not yours. It's mine now.
It's mine, see. And then wait, we have to deal with two of these guys now.
And Thanos just, you know, goes into a corner and cries.
It's a really short movie, but it's very dramatic.
Yes.
It's a very dramatic
just 15 minutes of that.
Yep, and then the rest of the 2 hours and 15 minutes is just end credits of everyone that worked on it. So, Black Panther was a huge hit over the weekend and did extremely well at crossing at $240 million at the domestic box office, and also accumulated $404 million at the worldwide box office. So, Andy, why don't you talk about why this is so significant?
It has a record number of opening weekend records with largest February opening, largest winter season opening, largest President's Weekend opening, largest Monday. Wow. And it missed largest Sunday of all time by less than it got largest Monday of all time by less than $42,000, and it missed largest Sunday of all time by less than $500,000.
Do you happen to know who got number one?
Force Awakens for both.
Oh, yeah, that makes sense.
The Force Awakens for both. And basically, it's in competition with that, with everything. The February and, winter stuff was all against Deadpool, which it blew out of the water almost by $100 million. Actually, it did beat it by over $100 million in President's Day weekend. And it's just... Hopefully this just continues on and just keeps dominating everything and people keep seeing it, because it is a good movie. I wouldn't say it's the best Marvel movie, but it's definitely a good one that people should be seeing.
Before we move on to the film itself, it's impressive how I don't think anyone can overstate how huge this opening is. Cause I mean, this was, and you and I even talked about it beforehand. This is basically outgrossed Justice League.
It outgrossed Justice League total domestic in 4 days.
And
to be fair, that's not exactly like a really hard thing to do considering how Justice League turned out.
But the fact that it's against, or that Justice League has the two most popular comic book heroes of all time in it, there's absolutely no it's showing you how popular this film is, but it also shows how big of a catastrophe Justice League was.
Right.
Like, I don't know which is showing more, but probably more that Justice League just blew. But like, it's just mind blowing that honestly, Black Panther is probably like a C-level Marvel character, like, mm-hmm. 10 years ago, before Marvel Cinematic Universe started. Like Iron Man and Thor, those guys were like B-level guys. Black Panther was probably lower B, upper C-level Marvel fair. Guys. And the fact that 10 years down the road, he by himself is taking on the entire Justice League in box office in its opening weekend is just mind-blowing to me.
That is really impressive, considering it, the only thing that's above it at this point is Star Wars, of all things.
Exactly. It even like beat out on the weekend, overall opening weekend, it was just shy of the first Avengers film. It was within 7 million or within 6 million of the opening weekend of the first Avengers film. And it's just mind blowing that this movie is doing so well.
It is. It's incredible. I couldn't be happier for the film, and it's actually a really good movie. It's not like Jurassic World or something where, or
Hang on.
You didn't like Jurassic World?
It's good. I don't think it deserved the, like, I understand that it got the money it did because of nostalgia for the original, which I guess it deserves, but that movie was not that good.
It was okay when I first saw it, and then ever since then, it's just kind of, every time I rewatch it, it's gone down in quality.
I think I've watched it once since I bought it.
I've seen it twice. I saw it in the theater once, and then I think I saw it on Redbox one other time.
And I've also seen it twice, both times in theaters. First time I enjoyed it quite a bit, although I do admit the second time I saw it, it was a little bit less enjoyable the second time. Mm-hmm. It was still fun, though.
It's just tiresome after a while. Like, seeing the same thing happen over and over again. Everyone just running from dinosaurs. But then again...
Hey, that's what people pay to see.
Yeah,
that's the money shot right there.
Who doesn't like dino carnage?
I guess I do. I like the substance of the first one. So, but that's for the Jurassic World Fallen Kingdom podcast.
Yeah, definitely.
When we get to it. So with that said, starting with you, Kaylin, what did you think of Black Panther?
Oh, I thought it was excellent. It was definitely a different film than what I was expecting, especially after seeing the first trailer. It definitely gave a different vibe from that than what we actually got, but I really, really enjoyed it. It's definitely not the best Marvel movie, I would say, but it's certainly up there. Probably right up there with like Iron Man, like the first Iron Man movie.
Andy?
I watched it twice on Thursday. It's good. I gave it the first time I gave it a 7, and then because of Killmonger, which I think is top tier Marvel villain at this point, I decided to bump it up to an 8. So it's in the top, or it's number 6 for me right now, and out of the 18 films so far. So it's like, it's good, but it's not like awesome as like people are talking about. Like, I'm not getting into the Rotten Tomatoes argument, but
that's like a whole nother thing.
Yeah, that's, I've gone over that many times. People still don't understand that, and that's annoying, but like, people talk that up a lot, and that's what's really infuriating, is that they're like, well, if it got that, then it must be great. And I'm like, yeah, it's good, which is why the score is so high, because so many people agree with that. There's nothing really new here, though. That's my biggest problem, is like, I think Kale, you said earlier, it's basically an Iron Man remake which you can say about a lot of these characters' first film, because they're all basically culminating to them defeating someone that's almost identical to them, at least power-wise. Mm-hmm. So, I don't know. That's getting kind of stale for me. That's why that this one, I think that's a major reason why the first time I watched it, I was kind of like, oh, well, that was good, but like not great. But the villain in here is like it's the same scenario, but like Michael B. Jordan's like performance as Killmonger is just so powerful. It just kind of elevates it a bit.
Yeah. You brought up the Iron Man comparison that I brought up before the show.
Yep.
For me, and this is my kind of review of the movie, is that it is a mashup of like Iron Man, Thor, because you have the fantasy stuff, and then you have the tech side, and then also it is beat by beat those movies because it is about a powerful person learning to be a better person. Which that has been the character traits for a lot of origin stories that Marvel's done. It's been that way for not only Iron Man, Thor, but it's also been Guardians of the Galaxy and Doctor Strange, it's kind of created this problem with Marvel because they seem to only have figured out how to do two kinds of stories when it comes to their origin stories, which are that you have the powerful person becomes a better person, or you have the really, really good-hearted person overcome an obstacle like an evil corporation or in a government or an evil terrorist organization, or overcome, you know, some other obstacle that kind of reflect, that's kind of like the mirror reflection of their, you know, good ideology. Mm-hmm. And this one, the reason why I feel like this is not like another Doctor Strange scenario where they just basically did Iron Man with magic, the reason why I think it's not, you know, Iron Man, but now in the Afro genre, I think the reason why it works so well is because they do something different with it. They add more to it. They add the complexity of T'Challa wanting to be a good king, but also still wanting to be a good man as well. And what does that mean? And they ask those questions of what does it mean to be a good ruler, and what sacrifices need to be made. And it's a great. And not only do it doesn't get completely answered. It gets saved for like Black Panther 2 and probably a Black Panther 3, but it's a really good, interesting dilemma this character has, and it's a really good balancing act to see what we're going to see later on with T'Challa as he becomes this great, you know, leader of Wakanda. And that's what I found appealing about T'Challa, is he is a person trying to become a leader and trying to fix the mistakes of the past and trying to amend, you know, the issues that came about before he was born or before he had total control. And those are the things I really related to and really loved in Black Panther. And also Killmonger is a great character. You just feel for him. And also his whole evil plan and what he wants to do, you buy that it could work, and you can also buy his motivation. Whereas I feel like some of the Marvel villains have had this issue of they just want to take over the world, but there's nothing more to that than they want it. Killmonger like has good reasoning for what he's doing. It means the expense of other lives, but there is a solid backing in behind Killmonger.
Oh, absolutely. I completely agree. And going back to Eric, I especially agree with him being a really good character, especially for a Marvel villain. It feels a lot lately that the villains in a lot of Marvel movies are probably the weakest part of the movie. Mm-hmm. And I really appreciated having not just a villain that's a good villain, but he's a good character. Like, you understand his motivations, you see where he's coming from. And I also really appreciated that despite everything else that was going on, it felt very personal. Like, it didn't feel like, oh, we have to save the whole world from X space thing that's going to invade, and then we have to deal with all that stuff. It felt like a very personal, a very personal conflict. And I liked it for that. And politics aside, I think that's what made the movie the strongest, was the characters. It's a very character-focused movie, and it had really good characters. Ironically, actually, I think T'Challa was probably one of the weakest ones in the movie. I think despite the movie being called Black Panther, there wasn't an actual whole lot of Black Panther in the movie.
Yeah, he gets kind of like thrown away, going into spoilers a little bit, but he kind of gets thrown away in between the second and third act of the movie. Because I think the goal of not only Black Panther was, it was supposed to also establish Wakanda as well.
Oh yeah, definitely feel the setting in this movie.
Yeah, that's definitely what they pushed forefront. And obviously, since we had a taste of him in Civil War, I feel like they feel like we got an idea of who he is. So they just decided to move on and, you know, fledge out with Wakanda and his family, which I'm really glad about because his sister is awesome and I can't wait to see where she goes.
Yeah, I would love to see Shuri in multiple things. Nakila and I'm going to butcher this. Okoye, I think. She's Michonne in the Walking Dead.
Oh, that's why she looked so familiar.
Yeah. I really liked those three characters, and especially when Okoye and Nakia accompany Black Panther or T'Challa to South Korea, and they have that big, big chase to get Ulysses Claw.
Oh, speaking of which, can we just talk a moment about like the actual like frame composition in this film? Mm-hmm. I mean, you can say that a lot of the Marvel films look very similar, but I feel like there was a lot of stylistic choices in this movie that made it stand out a lot more.
Right.
Do you remember that scene when Eric is just standing there with all those flowers burning? That was that was one of the best scenes in the movie, hands down.
Yeah, the shot composition and the color correction, everything looked really unique. It felt like a whole unique place that's set aside from the Marvel Universe, because you are right. And the problem that the Marvel Universe did have was they had this concrete look that they had right after Winter Soldier, where it worked fine for that movie because it was a more grounded movie, but it didn't really quite gel in Avengers. It didn't really appear so much in Ant-Man, but it did appear again in Civil War. And it was a little bit in Doctor Strange. And I think that's what happened. And over the last year, they have tried to kind of, back away from, or try to, redo their kind of color correction problem or kind of fix it with, the beautiful Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2. And of course, interestingly colored Thor Ragnarok and now this. So they've really upped their game on this one, and they got the always talented Rachel Morrison to do the TV work. And you're right, the way everything's framed, it feels like it gives the movie distinct look.
Yeah, it definitely does. It was Wakanda is a beautiful place, and I'm glad that they were able to showcase it the way that they did.
Yeah, it's a beautiful place. So not to beat around the bush, but where do we want this franchise to go?
Like the Black Panther franchise?
Sure, and where the character should go as well, because I have my own opinions on that.
Well, obviously they're leading heavily into Infinity War, where there's a huge battle happening there, which will be interesting seeing as how we now know a lot of their weapons and such. I'm just interested to see the official reason why they're battling there. But I think that after Infinity War, it's going to change the whole layout of them anyway, because obviously this film ended with them like saying that, you know, they're going to, Wakanda is going to like be showing, like helping out the whole world. So they're going to be dealing with a lot more people trying to do what Claw was doing, you know, steal vibranium if they can and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think in terms of Infinity War, I mean, obviously we're going to see a little bit more of the beginnings of Wakanda kind of sharing their resources to the world, their future tech and all to the world. And we'll also be able to see more of, but I think my theory on why it's there is why the final battle will be there. It's because, I thought for the longest time it was because Wakanda held the last like Infinity Stone, the Mind Stone, but the Mind Stone's never anywhere in this movie. So I think
you mean the Soul Stone?
Is that the last one?
Yeah, the Mind Stone was in Vision's head.
Okay. So I thought the Soul Stone was in there, but maybe it's not, and maybe they're moving the last stone there just so it will only be in Wakanda. And also because that's probably where all the best technology is at the current moment of the MCU. So they probably want to have the battle there because that's where everything will be. So yeah, I think that's I think that's my theory on it. But as far as where I would want to see the film, I would really want to see I really want to see what that world looks like now that the world has Wakanda's technology, and see what the negative and positive impacts of those, you know, things are. I really want to, because that's what really is the most fascinating thing about the ending of this movie, is that now the world is open to the world. Black Panther has opened up to the world, and now we're going to see what the benefits the world is going to receive from it.
Yeah.
I'm more interested to see the negative side of that. I want to see the villains that come up as a result of this.
I am too, because it, now that, you know, Wakanda has all this technology to do with it, and they have all these weapons, I want to see like if T'Challa opening up the world to Wakanda, I wonder what weapons will come out and how Wakanda will possibly even be taken advantage of. You know, I think for the longest time, you know, you had weapons developer like Tony giving away weapons, but then of course, you know, Tony in Iron Man has to learn how to responsibly use weapons by essentially saying we're not making weapons anymore. And taking that out of the equation, taking himself out of the equation. So I wonder like what will come out of that. And I wonder how much Infinity War will answer that versus how much will be left to Black Panther too. I'm really interested in going forward. Black Panther is a really fun, really interesting movie.
I'm hoping in the sequel we get to see more of, you know, the actual Black Panther himself. I mean, he was in the movie a decent amount. Like, I didn't feel like, oh, like, where's the main character for most of the movie? Because all the other characters were very entertaining, but there was so much the film needed to do. It didn't really have the time to just sit down and just focus on our main character. So I'd really like it if we got to see more of him, and maybe in the sequels coming forward, because you know they're going to have sequels. There's no way a movie like this is not going to have a sequel.
Oh yeah.
Hopefully it will do that. Like I said, I think that they just wanted to expand on that world before, so you get like a grasp of what's going on in Wakanda before they get there for Infinity War, and he kind of took the. Yeah, like he's, like you said, he's in there, but it's just not as much as you would have thought, like for his first solo movie. But we'll get there.
Well, and I didn't really mind it that much for him to not be there because I already got the origin story in Captain America Civil War. So
yeah, that's true. At least it wasn't an origin movie because God knows I'm sick to death of origin movies.
Well, they haven't been done well. I mean, look at Man of Steel.
Oh, that's a bad example.
Oh, wait, that's DC.
Yeah, that's an even worse example.
Gosh, we can't not like go through a comic book movie and not like not somehow bash DC.
Come on, don't pick on DC. That's like low-hanging fruit. Come on.
I know. I know, but
get up on that movie enough. We don't need to do it too. We're just kicking a kid that's already down.
I get a lot of crap for that actually because I do a lot of box office talk and like because of obvious reasons it comes up a lot, but I don't know. I don't care. They're not as good.
I mean, they're just objectively not good movies.
Exactly.
They're trying to, but at this point, it's like they're just trying to paint a turd. It's not like the foundation of their movies are not good. It doesn't matter how bright and colorful they are. Suicide Squad was never going to be the next like one. It was never going to be a good movie. Like yeah, I know they did a bunch of reshoots to make it funnier.
They have Margot Robbie as Harley Quinn, so all the fanboys are going to be like, oh, yes, we want more of that.
Ugh. God, what a... Wow.
Did that movie make money?
Yeah. Yeah,
it made a lot of money.
Oh, jeez.
It's a yeah, that's why they're still making the sequel. Because, I mean, David Ayer definitely will not come back, but, I mean, I think they got Gavin O'Connor to do the sequel, so...
Aren't they making like two Joker movies or something like that? I heard Jared Leto's getting his own like standalone film. So there's I can't wait to see that. You better believe I'm going to be there opening night first in line to see that catastrophe.
Honestly though, like with everything going on in that universe, I don't believe anything's happening until I see set photos.
We know Aquaman and Shazam are happening.
Although, time will tell if that'll be a mistake.
Yeah. Although we could just put them on, although they could just sell them to Netflix. And then
who knows? Maybe we'll get another Wonder Woman. Maybe it'll be like slightly better than decent.
Yeah. That's a good way of looking at it. Let's hope for more Wonder Woman.
Let's just have Netflix make everything so we don't have to worry about ratings or anything like that. And then it just comes out and everybody just likes it or doesn't like it.
Well, the problem is Netflix doesn't distribute their movies to theaters.
And most of Netflix's original movies are garbage also. Like, fair. Have you seen Bright?
Yeah. It's not good. Andy, did you see Bright?
Yeah. I like the idea, but not the execution.
Yeah. It's
to be honest, I feel that way about a lot of the DC films. Like, the idea is there, but the execution is horrendous.
Yeah. I don't know. Hopefully they're able to fix something. That's just a whole nother podcast talking about DC.
Sorry. No, you're good. Back to the movie, Black Panther.
Yeah. So do we?
Should we talk spoilers?
Yeah. Sure.
Okay. Yeah. Cool. Yeah. I mean, I just wanted to know if we were going to start talking about spoilers. I didn't. Are we done with the non-spoiler part?
Yeah.
Of course. Sorry. Go ahead.
If we're going into spoilers, like the thing that really annoyed me was the fact that they killed Claw, because I actually like his character, and I thought Andy Serkis was playing it like perfectly. He was hamming it up in all the best ways.
Just playing it up.
And I just like he was a good counter villain to Killmonger, and because he's like, you know, hyper serious for obvious reasons and, you know, good reasons, but like Claw is just having a blast doing whatever the fuck he wants. So it was just
he was great comic relief.
Exactly. Honestly, the whole movie was a lot funnier than I anticipated, so that was good too. But like, really? Yeah,
to me, I felt the exact opposite. I didn't expect it to be as serious as it was.
Oh yeah, I was definitely laughing a lot more than I thought than I would, especially because of his sister joking around so much with him and stuff like that. And I thought their chemistry was really good too, but like the Claw death thing, like just annoyed me, especially since it was just like so like the way it happened even just annoyed me. Like, you know, he's just laying there and just like shoots him, and it's just like, come on. But I get why they did it. I just wish that they wouldn't have.
He was a lot of fun. I thought he was fine. Like, I didn't mind that he got killed off. I was sad to see the character go, but at the same time, I'm just like, we got better things to do.
Well, I get that, but I'd rather like see him keep coming back to just like fuck with T'Challa like throughout or in the future too.
Oh, absolutely. I legit cried when Eric died because that just everything about that character was just, you really could see where he was coming from. And I just when he died, I just a little part of me died as well.
Yeah, and that last line he says, throw me in the ocean. My ancestors knew better to die than what was better to die than be in bondage.
I got chills.
That is, you just get teary eyed because T'Challa's in that moment. He's in that moment of like, he finally sees the scope of the history of like, of, and the consequences of Wakanda's isolationism. So you just feel it. And
on a completely lighthearted, unrelated note, was anyone else getting like, when T'Challa was in the spirit world talking to his dad and there was all the panthers in the tree, was anyone else getting like Lion King vibes, or was that me?
There's a ton of Lion King vibes throughout this whole thing.
Like, even the music that was playing in the background felt like the Lion King.
Yeah, I mean, I was putting some things together. I mean, there are very similar plots. Like, I mean, of course, you know, the dad, of course, you know, there's that Mufasa moment of like of T'Challa's dad, T'Chaka, coming in and telling him to come. But really, it's like, well, I mean, to be honest, even that scene is like, it's the opposite of what's happening in that moment of that the Lion King. Because T'Chaka is like telling his son to come with him, be with his ancestors and join them. But T'Challa says, no, I have to solve the problem. I cannot, you know, leave Wakanda in this state. I cannot let your actions destroy not only Wakanda, but the world. And it's a teary-eyed moment. I just wish in that moment, and I think I might have told you this, Kaylin, I may not have, but I wish, if you notice, there's just some of the special effects in the spiritual world just didn't really quite look as good as they should have, in my opinion. That's
another. Yeah, you did tell me about that. And yeah, to be honest, I could kind of see that. Like, not all the CGI worked flawlessly. And I definitely noticed that we were kind of revisiting the same locations over and over again. But they made it work. I kind of wish we had more locations. I felt like we were in that city square a lot. We were in that throne room a lot. And we were in that one section of Korea a lot. But I mean, I guess it's negligible.
I'm not taking it away from the film. The movie is still an A. It was just little things I picked up. Because, I mean, even though the effects are not that good, I'm still emotionally into the scene. I'm still emotionally with T'Challa as he's talking to his father.
Yeah. So,
yeah, it's all really good stuff. Going back to Ulysses Claw, I didn't care that he died. He's a fun character. Don't get me wrong.
I miss him.
He's a fun character, but it just seems like Marvel's working really hard to, like move away from Avengers Age of Ultron as much as possible. Not any diss on Avengers Age of Ultron, but
yeah, you be careful. If Diego hears this, he's gonna freak out.
Speaking of which, though, do you guys think that it's sort of getting to a point in the Marvel Cinematic Universe where you really do have to watch all the other movies to understand what's happening now? Because in Black Panther, for the most part, everything is standalone. But I completely forgot that his dad died in the last Civil War movie until they mentioned it again in this one. And I was like, oh, wow, shoot, I completely forgot about that. So I'm wondering, do you think it's going to get to a point where you really do have to start watching all the movies, and then it's going to end up pretty much with the same problem that the comics are currently having, where you have to read like 20 years worth of history just to understand this one plot thread that's happening right now?
What do you think, Andy?
Well, with comic books, it's really easy just to have like one page dedicated to a flashback to explain where they're coming from. And I guess they can do the same in the film like they did in this, where they showed like him like dealing with that in Civil War. So I don't think it's that big of an issue, but I just think that you should, though, just so that you can know what they're all capable of and what they've gone through, just so that the moments that are coming are as powerful as they're intended to be.
I guess what I'm really asking is, how long do you think that Marvel can continue making movies that are both accessible to just anyone who can just pick it up and watch it versus just being accessible to comic book fans? Because it seems like the more we go along, the more the movies become more connected, the more it feels like you really should watch the other movies before you see this one. How long do you think they can keep that up before it becomes like, okay, you really do need to watch the other films before you see this one? Or do you think they'll drop that and then just try to focus on being accessible to as many people as possible?
After the fourth Infinity War movie, though, I think that they're going to be resetting everything anyway, so that everybody, it's either going to continue on like a fraction of what it is now, or it's going to die off. Honestly, when they start recasting these characters or like morphing into other characters to take the lead. So I honestly don't see this continuing the way it is past 20, whenever the fourth one comes out.
2019.
Yeah.
Personally, I think you can still, maybe not the sequels per se. Like, I would say if you wanted to watch Guardians Volume 2 or Captain America Winter Soldier, I think you would have to have at least watched, I think you would have had to at least watch the first one and maybe the Avengers, but really all the origin stories and all of like, even this movie, I think you can just pick up, you know, I think the movie perfectly explains what happened in Captain America Civil War enough. And then even though we had the origin of T'Challa in Captain America Civil War, we still have, we still get the sense of who T'Challa is as a character.
Yeah.
So maybe for this one, you don't have to rewatch any movies, but I would say maybe like the sequels, you would have to like pick up, you know, some, you'd have to actually do some prerequisite homework beforehand.
I admit I am starting to get a little bit worried. Because at this moment in time, it seems like Marvel can do no wrong. And eventually, I don't think they can continue on like that forever. So I am wondering when the bubble is going to burst on that.
I'm already seeing people already like, is Infinity War going to be the one that bursts a bubble?
Yeah, because I don't know about you, but I'm not that excited for it. Does anyone else feel that way?
Honestly, I was trying to feeling like this whole universe is becoming over, like, just too big anyway with this film. Like, because it's good and everything, but as I left, I was kind of underwhelmed comparatively. Like, if this movie would have came out 5 years ago, I would have probably been more hyped about it. But it is becoming a lot. After four, I think that a lot of people are checking out.
It's hard to tell because this one did so well.
Yeah, and like everyone talks about superhero fatigue. Obviously, this proves that doesn't exist.
Well, I think... Oh, sorry, go ahead.
No, go ahead.
Oh, well, I think how Marvel is actually managing to combat that is, I think instead of focusing on the superhero element, they've started mixing in other genres and then focusing on that extra genre. Like, they've got a Venom movie coming out that kind of feels like a thriller horror. And then you had like Wolverine that came out that was like a Western style movie. And then you've got like Black Panther, which feels very political. So I think what they're doing is they're, to keep it fresh, like they're just kind of mixing in other genres. And I don't know how long that can continue either. Because, I mean, people that, well, I don't know about everyone, but I know that a lot of nerds that watch the movie, like, they want to see the superhero aspect of it. So I wonder how far they can dilute it and change it and make it something else to keep the public interested while still keeping the people that are only there for the superheroes interested.
Hmm. Personally, I mean, I think there's already a fatigue setting in, but I think the reason why the movies are still doing very well is because particularly Marvel has found a way to keep staying fresh. Like, yeah, I still stand by my claim. They're kind of working with the same templates for each movie, but I think by hiring different hiring unique filmmakers like Ryan Coogler for this, or Taika Waititi for Thor Ragnarok, or James Gunn and John Watts for Spider-Man, I think the reason why they're keeping fresh is because they keep the direction interesting, and they're trying now to let more directors figure their way, you know, into this universe. They still have things they have to do. They still have things they kind of have to work around and things they have to put in each movie, but they're getting more and more creative freedom now that the universe is kind of A, about to reset anyway, and B, they've kind of had the trial and error. They've had the trial and error of having one phase that was totally director driven with phase one, and then they had one that was just more television directors with phase two, and now they're kind of bringing back the best of phase two and allowing new directors come in to direct, you know, bring interesting things into this sequels. It's still a trial and error system, but it's still working. If that makes any sense, it's still keeping things fresh. If that makes any sense.
No, that makes perfect sense. Do you know what the, like, once they reboot everything, do you know what's coming after that?
No.
Because I'm very curious. I'm wondering what the universe is going to look like once they reset. I bet you they're going to have X-Men, that's for sure. Because I know Disney didn't they buy Fox recently?
It's not completely done, but the merger is in the works.
So yeah, I would definitely bank on there being another X-Men movie.
Yeah. Everything going on with that, obviously they're going to be coming back with, you know, X-Men to do their own versions of that kind of stuff. But after Infinity War and whatever follows, a lot of these main characters are going to be done, and they're going to be taken over by other characters, or like, you know, the same, like Iron Man might be like somebody else just taking up the suit. And like Thor, they could go with a female Thor, stuff like that. And I don't know if people are going to care enough to continue on with it, knowing that stuff, not understanding why that stuff happened if they didn't go through all this.
Oh, sorry for the noise, but it's my garage. They're working on the garage downstairs, if you can hear that.
It's fine. I mean, I know for a fact that after Avengers Infinity War, we're going to get the second Spider-Man movie with Tom Holland. Eventually, we're going to get in 2020, the third and final Guardians of the Galaxy movie. And I want to say we have another Doctor Strange movie coming, but I mean, there has been like no talk on that front at all. So that's a maybe. But like what Andy said, they are going to reboot a lot of things. They are probably going to have a female Thor movie after this. They're probably even going to have like an all women Avengers coming out in the not so distant future. Yeah.
What? Isn't there supposed to be like a Miss Marvel movie coming out?
Oh, that
comes out in between.
Okay, cool. Because I'm looking forward to that. I really like Miss Marvel. I've actually been reading a couple of her comics recently, and I'm really starting to get into it.
Yep. It comes out before the second Marvel Avengers Infinity War.
Because I haven't heard anything about it. Like, I've heard that it was coming out and then just radio silence.
They've started filming, but yeah, the movie doesn't come out till March of 2019.
Ah, okay. So there's still some time to go.
Mm-hmm.
But is there anything else we want to talk about with Black Panther, though?
All I want to say is it's a really good movie, and I think it deserves its success. I think this is perfect, 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 perfect. And I wanted to ask you guys one more thing, starting with you, Kaylin. Why do you think Black Panther was this huge of a success?
Well, honestly, I think a lot of it has to do with timing. Aside from the obvious, like it did a lot of things right. The first thing being its setting and its characters. There's a lot of culture to this movie. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of African culture and a lot of African American culture, and it was really interesting and cool to see that many Black people on screen. Like, you don't get to see that very often, and I think a lot of people appreciated that and all the hard work that went into that. But then on the other side of the coin, there's also the politics of, like, the actual politics themselves. The issue of what is it, like, the immigration and colonialism, like, mm-hmm. that issue is something that's very relevant, especially in this day and age. Like, that's something that a lot of Americans are thinking about and focusing on. And the kind of arguments and the back and forth between Eric and T'Challa are things that a lot of people are talking about right now. And I think the combination of those two elements probably spoke to a lot of people on a really deep level.
Andy?
She nailed it.
Yeah. Only thing I would add is, If you give underrepresented minority don't just hand them a movie. If you hand them a really good movie, something that speaks to them and something that is really good, not only, you know, because there's something powerful at the end of this movie about a kid looking at a Black kid looking at another, looking at a Black powerful superhero. And I think that's kind of the best way to look at the movie, in the way what it means is now there's a character that is that's powerful, and now he can be seen as a role model. And I think that's the power of Black Panther, is that it gives, you know, it gives Black people something. It gives Black people their own hero. And while, yes, we've had our Blades, we've had the Blade movies, and Marvel has...
Oh, my God, who could forget about Catwoman? That amazing masterpiece of a film.
Oh, no. we have the Blade movies, and then and there's the Falcon and War Machine in the Marvel Cinematic Universe, but and Cyborg, of course, and the DCEU. But T'Challa has his own movie, and he has an interesting story, and he's an interesting character to follow. And I think once you give that kind of movie to an underrepresented audience, I think it works. I think it just totally, I think that's why the power of this movie works. And guys, just tell me if I'm wrong, but I feel like that's the power of this movie, is the conversations that are having, and they made a powerful movie with an all Black cast. And that's, to me, that's the reason why this movie worked. And I cannot believe, and I'm happy that I cannot believe that it is worked the way it has. I'm so happy about it.
I absolutely feel the same way. I think it, and it's not just that it was just an all Black cast. I think it also helped that it was a really tight movie on top of that. Like, it's the combination of everything together working that does it. And I think Disney has been killing it lately in terms of, like, representation, and, like, representing specific culture, because in this movie you got to see Another thing I really liked about the film was just seeing the contrast and the comparison between African American culture and then African culture. So you got both of those things represented in this film. And then you look at some of their other films like Coco, where you got to see a lot of like Mexican Latina representation, and then Moana, where you get the Polynesian representation. Like, Disney's killing it lately.
They are.
They got their bases covered.
And they're working on a Mulan remake. So
they're working on so many things right now. It's ridiculous.
They're slowly taking over the world, I swear. But I mean, I'm fine. I for one welcome our new overlords.
Yeah, they're being gracious so far. Yeah. So does anybody have any more final note on Black Panther?
Oh, should we talk about the after credit scene?
Yeah, what do you think?
I have no thoughts. I thought it was kind of funny. I'm not really sure what it means at all. So I just wanted to bring it up. I don't know what to make of that.
I think that they just had that in there because Civil War ended with Bucky being there, and it was just like showing you that, like, what he's been doing since, obviously they just didn't show him at all during the film, and that they are trying to help him out and everything like that, setting up for Infinity War, because we've already seen in the trailers that he's out and everything like that. So they were just, I think, linking that.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Forgetting, but like, what happened to his arm? Like, why doesn't he have an arm?
He lost it during the Iron Man showdown.
Oh, that's because right.
He had his metal arm trying to pull out the Iron Man's chest blaster, yeah. And then Iron Man just blew him away.
Yeah, that's what happened. Because he lost his real arm,
in World War II.
Yeah. And then, what happened to his metal arm is exactly what Andy just said. So, yeah.
Iron Man blasted him.
Which I'm sure they're going to hand him an arm in between this movie and Infinity War. They're going to, Shuri's going to hand him another vibranium arm.
I was going to say, yeah, like with all the vibranium they have, like obviously Cap's new shield is going to be vibranium again. His arm's going to be, everything that they're supplying is going to be vibranium.
Yep. Vibranium's going to defeat Thanos.
Honestly, I'm super excited for Infinity War. They said that there's rumors that another trailer is dropping on Tuesday. I'm going to try to ignore that as much as possible. Obviously, we're going to get stills on Twitter that you're not going to be able to miss, and GIFs and stuff like that. But like, I don't want any more, because there is no way that this movie is going to live up to the hype of 10 years and 19 movies or 18 movies of Prelude.
There's no way. There's like a million characters. Each character is going to get like a minute of screen time.
But there's one scene that has 30 heroes in it. And if they show even a glimpse of that, I'm going to be pissed. I want to see that for the first time on the big screen. Like Civil War, I give them all the credit in the world for hiding Ant-Man.
Oh yeah, that was great.
Because like literally I knew somebody that had seen the movie beforehand, and I'm like, okay, I have one question. Does Ant-Man go giant? And they're like, do you want to know? And I'm like, for me, if I don't see it in a trailer, if I don't physically see it happening, but I know it's coming, but I hear about it, like that's not spoiler for me, because like it doesn't ruin it, because I don't see it happening. I don't know when it's going to happen, but knowing that it was going to happen just made me so happy. And they did it perfectly by not showing anything until after the movie was out. And I was just so jacked for that. But yeah, if they show, like, knowing that that many people heroes are going to be fighting in one scene is going to be awesome. And I hope that they don't show it.
It's beforehand. Gonna be so cool.
But this movie, I really have a lot of predictions for this movie. I really think that everybody, like, they're gonna be losing. Obviously, they're gonna be losing at the end of this movie. It's gonna come down to one or two of them left, and then when it goes to be continued, or they're all gonna be in a situation where they're all just like fucked, and they like obviously they come back and whatever in the next one, but. This is going to be like the Empire Strikes Back.
Even though Civil War and Age of Ultron were like the Empire Strikes Back at the Marvel.
No, but this is like, but that's, those two were against themselves. Like, this is against something else.
Yeah, that's
because
fair.
Ultron is technically Iron Man. Like, Thanos is his own thing. Every, like, Civil War was against each other. It was, and then Ultron was against himself. So,
I guess the. But you know what? I would actually like that. It's just, you know, the character is just lost, or basically the vision that Tony has at the beginning of Age of Ultron.
Yeah, like that's happening.
See that come to fruition, and Tony just like revel in just everything he tried to do to prevent it just did not work.
Have you guys seen or heard about the set stuff for the fourth film?
No.
Because no, I haven't.
Filming it. Do you want to know?
Yes.
Okay.
Sure.
They're reshooting moments throughout all of the other films. There are set photos of like Tony Stark in an outfit that he wore in the first Iron Man film, stuff like that. So a lot of people think that this movie ends with somebody getting a hold of the time stone, and then they go back through the Marvel, like all 18 films, and then just subtly change things so that they're able to come back and kill or to take out Thanos at the end.
Ah, like the end of Prisoner of Azkaban.
Yeah, basically. But like they're like, there's a bunch of stuff. Like they have like long haired Thor. They have like a bunch of stuff.
Nice.
So a lot of people think that like last ditch effort, one of them gets a hold of the time stone.
I wonder who that could be.
A lot of people think it's Peter, but you never know.
Peter Parker or Peter Quill?
Parker.
Okay.
Why Peter?
A lot of people think it's Spider-Man just because it's Spider-Man.
I
have no idea though who it would be, but like obviously there's something going on that they're reshooting stuff that's already happened. So I don't know.
I don't really want this to happen, but I think it will happen. If that's true, I think it'll be Doctor Strange.
Well, that's the given one, but like I don't know. It's like that would be the obvious choice because he's the one that knows how to use it. But mm-hmm. maybe they're bouncing back and they don't know how to use it, so they hit a bunch of different areas.
Yeah. All right. Yep. All right. So, does anybody care about Ant-Man and the Wasp?
I am iffy on it. I just want to see their interactions with each other. I don't really care about anything else that's happening.
Yeah, I feel the same way. Like I do enjoy the Wasp. I remember her character a lot, mostly from the animated shows. But
have you ever seen Avengers Earth's Mightiest Heroes?
Yes, I have.
Show is amazing.
It really is.
All of this stuff I'm comparing to that, and it's like most of it is failing because that show is awesome. It's only two seasons, but it's so worth it.
Let's just talk about that instead. Yes. Black Panther who? Whatever.
Yeah, well, that's the thing. In that show, like Black Panther's in the Avengers mansion for 3 days and Jarvis doesn't even know.
That's the best part. Oh my God. It's nice. Like all of the information that I know about Black Panther comes from that show.
Exactly, right?
Nice. Awesome.
And they go through the whole Killmonger thing in there too.
Cool.
Yeah.
Maybe I should look into that and do a podcast on that one day. They're only two seasons in.
Yeah. Well, they stopped after two seasons. Oh. It's 22 episodes each. And I think that they're 40 minutes, aren't they?
I would have to double check. It's been a while.
I don't remember. But yeah, it starts off with like Cap and Iron Man dealing with Hydra stuff. And then it brings them all together because of all of the super max security, like villain prisons are released and they have to all get together to like bring them back and stuff. And then it leads into the Skrull and Krill. Krull armies stuff happening, and then it goes into Kang the Conqueror.
Yeah, it's a good time. We should check it out.
Definitely.
Nice. I will definitely look into that because that sounds cool. All right. So if we're good on Black Panther, are we ready to go on to plugins?
Definitely.
Yeah, we're good.
Andy, where can the good people find you?
You can find me on Twitter at The Talking Can. I like talking movies and box office stuff. Come at me with your ill-solicited movie ideas and then watch me just mess with Diego and Mike a lot.
Particularly Diego.
It's so funny. Okay, the other day he said physical media, and I cannot get it out of my head because he tweeted physical, like saying like The Last Jedi is available in physical media on this day, and I'm like, and I literally tweeted him three times, physical media, and then I texted it to him in our group chat, and he's like, God damn it! And then Patrick didn't know what was happening, so he's like, why are you freaking out, Diego? And he's like, Andrew heard me say physical media, and now he thinks it's hysterical for some reason. Did you see me tweeting all my terrible movie ideas about like what movies are better than movies that he loves?
Like no, but Birdman, I'll look for it.
Like Birdman is better than Alien 3 and like and American Hustle is better than Miami Vice. He was flipping shit. It was amazing.
Jeez,
I can just see it now. We love you, Diego.
Oh yeah.
We love you, Diego, over in California.
Oh yeah.
So Kaylin, do you have a Twitter or where can good people find you?
Yes. You can find me on YouTube at Magic Mermaid Girl. I make anime reviews. I haven't made a video in a while, but there's a couple coming soon, so stay tuned. I'm also at Twitter at Magic Mermaid YT, so just check me out if you have a chance.
Awesome. You can find me on Twitter at MovieKale. You can also follow the show at The Youth Critic, and then you can also follow the channel that distributes this podcast at KHZ Network. Thanks, everyone. We will be back with everyone next week on Annihilation. We'll see how fun that movie is. Bye-bye.
Bye.
I never freeze.
The revolution will not be televised.
Show me my respect. And bow down. We own ya. We own ya. We only getting started now. Cause we own ya. Just gotta think they know me now. Cause we own ya. You and I my homie. Cause we own ya.
I waited my entire life for this. The world's gonna start over. I'ma burn it all.
What happens now determines what happens to the rest of the world.
You will not be able to stay home, brother. You will not be able to plug in, turn on, and cop out.
Wakanda forever!
The revolution will not be televised.
Let's have some fun.
The revolution will be live.